Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For our radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, tune in to our online affiliates, thanks to our podcast. We're glad you all could be with us as well. Well, you guys know I love words, and poetry have been one of the things that I definitely enjoy being able to do over the years and now to be able to share with all of you. And the same is true for our next guest. We're excited to welcome author and poet Lauren Martin to our broadcast today. Lauren is celebrating her brand new book called Night of the Hawk. We're going to talk to Lauren not only about her own love of writing and words, but what it's been like for her to take her own personal reflections and thoughts and share them in the book, and also to see the connections that are being formed with it as well. If you're just now finding out about Night of the Hawk, we will let you know how to be to get your own copy of it, as well as stay connected with Lauren. Lauren, thank you again for spending some time with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited and honored to be on the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So, Lauren, I have to ask you, I saw your post on Instagram. How does it feel to have worked on this project and now to be able to share it with the rest of us?
It's sort of disorienting, but one of the things that's exciting about it is to see how variable people's responses are, which poems speak to them, and I love that. I love that poetry, you know, and words generally allows people to tell their own personal stories. And it at this point, it's out of my hands, and people get to do with it as they want, which is really beautiful.
Yeah. It's beautiful, but I have to ask you, though, as a fellow poet and knowing how I have struggled over the years and deciding what to share, what not to share, and what people may not be ready for, was it also a little scary for you?
I did have, the night before my launch, I had this little, oh, my God, moment. And then I, you know, basically was like, I'm going to keep myself super busy on my launch day, which was Tuesday, and did all the typical things. You know, I worked, I meditated, I had a mammogram. You know, I just tried to keep it out of my mind a bit.
Right, right. Well, look, I can totally understand that. I felt a certain connection with your book, Lauren, when it was first pitched to me because, again, believe it or not, we're making 21 years this year with this show. I do not get to interview a lot of poets. So it was great to be able to have you come on and to talk about the book, especially someone, as I mentioned, who loves poetry so much. For myself, Lauren, and it feels like the same as from you for reading the book, poetry is a way for me sometimes to make sense of myself as well as the world, to really reflect on experiences and also to kind of be able to learn from them. Talk to us about your own love affair with words. When did that start for you?
What a good question. Well, it started really young, interestingly. I wrote something in school in sixth grade that was an essay, a standard essay, and it got identified as being written in a poetic form, which I didn't understand at the time. And then I got pulled out of class and put into a poetry class. And from that point on, I wrote poetry, and I studied it, wrote it, studied it in college, and continued to write it. And I agree, it is, for me, sometimes the easiest way for me to process deep, confounding emotion. And I don't necessarily do it in a inhibited way. I think my work is very transparent, but it is cathartic, as I think great art should be, in that it, you know, should talk about love and death and pain and be free to process that for all of us. So I do use it that way.
Yeah, I can remember when I first started on my poetic journey, Lauren, is one of the things that really I looked forward to. It scared me in the beginning was going to poetry venues and being able to read and to find others who had similar thoughts and connections and to kind of build a tribe almost like a support group.
Yeah.
It felt like sometimes. Were you able to find that for yourself?
I have not. It's ironic because I have a reading next week, and my sister is an actor and director, and I keep telling her she needs to read the poems at the reading. I don't necessarily have a performative bone. I'm like, I did it. I made the words. So, but I think it seems like it'd be really helpful to have a community. I had a little more of a community in college, but mostly not with other poets. And, you know, I'm very excited to talk to you because you seem to understand this from the inside out, which is a different experience.
Got you. Well, I think for myself, what also has helped, and I think, too, in reading Night of the Hawk, Lauren, one thing I can say to our audience is that you really, when you talk about being authentic, you know, being yourself, and I think that is where your connection came from. I remember the first time, I'm a suicide attempt survivor myself, Lauren, and I remember the first time I wrote about that and how freeing that was for me to be able to talk about it, and then to find other people who came up to me and said, I felt the same thing, or I've attempted suicide too. And have you found that people who have heard about Night of the Hawk, I guess is what I was getting to, and the different layers you talk about, dealing with your own personal demons and being able to talk about healing relationships, are you finding that people are connecting with you in ways you didn't expect?
I think so. And first of all, I want to thank you for sharing that, because I am a big believer that the stigma around suicide really, you know, prevents people from getting the help that they need. And even then, you know, I had a suicide in my practice, which is written about in the book, and it was devastating for me and didn't fall along any of the predictable lines. And I just think that, to me, the universal pain that we all experience is so hidden, even more so in this arc of social media in which people are kind of presenting an image all the time. And
right.
I believe that in talking about that and us being vulnerable, you being vulnerable, me being vulnerable, you know, that it's that that creates that, bridges that human gap and allows us to have empathy for people and help people and persevere in spite of our own pain. So I am a huge proponent of kindness and understanding the humanity of other people and having empathy for it, because of my own suffering and, you know, also from the suffering that I witness all the time. So I really find what you're doing in your work, and, you know, I've listened to your podcast now, as deeply moving. I think you're living the thing that I feel very committed to, which is to communicate with kindness and really listen to people, hear their stories, understand them, have interest in them. It's very moving to me to listen to your podcast, actually.
Well, thank you for that. And I think my empathy, Lauren, and I've said this to my audience over the years, both on the radio here in Mississippi and since we've been now as a podcast, is that I think it comes from my knowing that pain, knowing that hurt, knowing what it means to feel invisible and unseen, and knowing that other people feel that too, and letting them know you're not by yourself and that I see you and I can understand you. And I think, too, I want to give you credit, Lauren, for being so bold, because you talk about things in this book, that the challenges that you face, you're able to address them straight on in a very, I think, confident way. I want to talk about that. Did you realize you had that confidence as you were reading it back? Did you see that in yourself?
I have done, because of my dysfunctional childhood and my shamanic journey, such ridiculous amounts of work on myself, and will always do it. And I feel very clear about myself, and I feel a lot of compassion for, you know, who I am and the idiosyncrasies that I have, and then in turn other people. And I think that's the thing, right? I mean, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. And how do you understand and love the people connected to you and beyond you and their idiosyncrasies, even if you don't agree? And so I've always in my life had almost trouble not being clear about that as my mission. That's been what I've, you know, kind of figured out as a very young child, dealing with seeing ghosts and dealing with spirits, but also dealing with dysfunctional parenting and having this somehow deeper, maybe soul understanding of what I felt my life's work was going to be.
Yeah. And you're able to talk about things again that are difficult, tough but also necessary. You talk about Lyme disease. You talk about cancer. You talk about Parkinson's. All the things are so relatable. But I tell you, one of the poems that really stuck out to me, Lauren, that I think a lot of people can, and I think about this myself, is our own mortality. You talk about age in the book, right? And looking at it the way you used to versus now, what has that been like for you to think about the gift of age, but also, of course, the preciousness of it?
Right. You don't understand that fragility until you get older. And I think you don't, you know, I certainly in the poems about my father, which you sort of touched on by being very perceptive and understanding his Parkinson's, you know, I think, you know, I wanted to demonstrate that arc of, you know, a young person understanding your relationship with your parent in the face of a dysfunctional history and how that changes as you age and how, you know, maybe your parent softens, which my dad did, but also I did a lot of work and then I was more vulnerable and able to really understand the lessons that he had taught me that were so essential. I mean, both of my parents taught me things that I feel like had saved my lives. In spite of their struggle to relate to each other, they were able to impart such wisdom and such reverence for context and eldership, which I think has just been invaluable to me, particularly now as I'm getting older and like, oh boy.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And again, I think that's where that relatability factor comes in. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, welcome. You're listening to Conversations Live, both for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYED 94.1 FM and WYEDonline.com, but also online worldwide thanks to our podcast. We're excited to welcome author and poet Lauren Martin to our broadcast today. She's celebrating her brand new book called Night of the Hawk. It's available now. Have you gotten used to embracing those titles of author and poet yet, Lauren?
Not at all. I was like, it's a vanity project. But, you know, it feels very surreal at this point. I mean, maybe it will start to feel more real, but I've been so immersed. When I studied poetry at school, I thought I would get out of school and have kind of a more normative trajectory of working on compiling a book. And then I was just forced into this really intense shamanic journey that was long and arduous, and I never really had an opportunity to put it all together because I was homeless at one point, you know. I mean, it was the shamanic journey was really intense, and so I really only was able to organize all of this when I had a back procedure and ended up with a CSF leak in 2015 and spent, you know, a lot of 8 years in bed and the first 2 years completely in bed. And so, you know, I was like, well, I have God and I have words. So I'm going to work with that.
Wow. That's interesting. I have to bring up relationships, Lauren. We both also are kindred spirits in that I've wrote a whole lot about relationships. I used to share it when I was younger. I don't do it now because I look back and think, first of all, what was I thinking even getting into a relationship? Because I've always been so dedicated to what I do. Like, what was I thinking about? So I can't really talk about somebody else because I, you know, my parents, they even today will say that, you know, Cyrus does not need a relationship, and they're right about that. I compartmentalize too much for that to work. Mm-hmm. But I do love the fact that you are able to talk about it. And again, I'll talk around this, I don't spoil it, but in the poem Ziggy, where you kind of talk about, you know, the signs being there and kind of pushing yourself down, right, and not being able to share your voice. I want to talk about what that's been like for you to see your growth and to give yourself credit for that. Or maybe I should ask it this way, Lauren. Has it been easy for you to give yourself credit for the growth that you're showing in these words?
I don't know if it's been easy, but I do think I see that arc. And I think the other piece is, I think when you're somebody who's self-aware, you have to make concessions for people. So I always feel like when I'm interacting with people, I'm, you know, it's kind of a gamble. You don't know if when people hit that point in relationships, you know, because I think there's romantic love and lust, and then there's power struggle, and then there's real love, deep love, and that comes from working through the power struggle. And you never know, because people come in with their great theories about what they're capable of doing, and then they get to power struggle, and a lot of times people bail. So I do feel, as much as I'm a romantic and I get super heartbroken and disappointed and it comes out in my poetry, I also feel like I understand why people don't want to go deeper. They'd rather just sub out, because, you know, going deeper means looking at all your own stuff. And, you know, the context for that in our world is somewhat limited. People are working towards peace, and that doesn't necessarily get included in deep self-reflection.
Yeah, I think that is such a great point. I want to talk about for you now at this point. Now, you mentioned you have a reading that's coming up. Talk to us about that, about being out front and center. How does that feel for you? And do you see that as another box that you're able to check off on your journey?
It feels disorienting, but it feels important, because I feel like I want people to hear the message of tolerance and trying to understand people that are different or appear different than them. I think lots of people feel different for different reasons, and they all kind of think that their difference is the most important difference, and then we just don't bridge that gap. So I feel like there needs to be space for everybody to have various differences and connect through them. That said, I'm really not loving the idea of doing a reading, but I'm gonna soldier on, and I'm gonna do it, because I'm so used to my interactions with people being about my curiosity about them and their development, and it's very hard for me to feel comfortable in this position of talking about me.
Gotcha. I get that. I can understand that, too. I think, you know, for a lot of people, you know, that, I mean, but I also realize something else that I'm sure that you're getting more and more now, too, and that is people look at you and they will say, wow, you wrote a book, or you had the courage to share that in the book, and the wonder that will come out of that for others. But also, I think, you know, the idea of, hey, if Lauren was able to do this, I can too. Talk to us about that. What is that like for you to give other people the gift, the permission to share their own stories?
That has been really nice. Ironically, some old clients have reached out to me. Somebody got the book and reached out to me last night, who has moved two pages in and felt that it was really empowering and gave her a sense of courage to assert her thoughts about, you know, various things that are happening to women and her as a woman as she was aging. I have another patient who started writing a memoir. So, yeah, it does feel nice that it gives people the possibility to express themselves in that way.
Yeah, I think that's such a great thing. And so I do want to ask you, when people do finish Night of the Hawk, whether they're someone who's used to reading poetry or just able to dive into the different layers of your life, Lauren, that you're sharing this book, what do you hope they leave the book with?
I just hope they leave it with a sense that they're okay as they are, no matter what their struggles and differences, that we're all kind of stumbling along on this thing called life, and that you don't get through it without getting dinged in various forms. And, you know, just try to use that as part of the definition of yourself and your strength, and share with other people those experiences.
Yeah. Such a great thing, and such a great gift, I think, to be able to give to others and to be able to let them know, I think, as I was able to see, that you're not alone. You and I have never met each other, Lauren, but I definitely felt a connection with you through your words.
Thank
I could feel sometimes the anger. I could feel sometimes the revelations. But I could also feel the peace. I could feel the connection and, in some ways, the acceptance. I think that comes through as well. So I think others will feel that too. Again, everyone, Lauren Martin has been our guest. Night of the Hawk is the new book out now. You can get it through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite local bookstore if they don't have it. I know they'd be more than happy to order it for you. And Lauren, you were telling me before we went on here, you have a website. Let our audience know how to stay connected with you.
Oh, yeah. You can reach out to me on my website, which is laurenmartin.net. I'm also horribly on social media, but my Instagram, which used to be just nails and my dog, you can reach me there too. It's Frankie with a Y is a star. And Frankie is my dog. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So now Frankie has to share the page.
She does. She has to make a little room.
Well, look, Lauren, this has been a lot of fun. I hope it's been fun for you as well. Congratulations to you on the book.
Thank
and looking
you.
Forward to staying connected with you online.
Me too. Thank you so much, Cyrus. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're more than welcome. And we thank you, our audience, for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Again, make sure you guys pick up Night of the Hawk. I'll be writing my review as well on Amazon. Invite you guys to be able to do so as well after you've read the book. And make sure you tell someone that may be a lover of poetry or just a lover of life. I think they will enjoy the book as well. And thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all so much for being on with us here today. Have a great one.